That happened to me a number of years ago, and I put together this sermon called Jesus Passes By. Jesus Passes By. Now, as Christians, my good friend Alan. Thank you for coming, Alan. Okay. I needed that, brother. Thank you very much. Yeah, no pressure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Alan can, because he's been a pastor, he's been a missionary to Africa, so yeah. Thank you very much, brother. I appreciate that. Okay, so there was three places in particular that I noticed where it seemed like Jesus was passing through, or he was passing by, or he was even going to act like he was going to just keep on going. And I want to look at those three because I think there's something we can learn from each of those three different events. And they were in different circumstances. The first one is in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Okay, and this is out of the New King James Version. Now they came to Jericho. That's Jesus and the disciples. They came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him, shush up, be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many... Do we have the... Lost it? Okay. We'll pick up. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now remember, they were out going out of the city. And he's crying out. So Jesus stops, commands him to be called. So they called the blind man. Now they're changing their story. They're saying, hey, be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you. Take note of this verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. This is a blind man. Got up, threw aside his garment. Now this is good. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Come on, Jesus, he's blind. The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. Follow Jesus on the road. So this is the first incident. Jesus, there's times when we have a desperate need. As Christians, we have gone through times. How many have never had a hard time in your Christian life? Never gone through, I mean, everything is just roses, no thorns. Nobody? We've all had a hard time. Okay? Jesus said, in this life, you will have trials. We have trials. Blind Bartimaeus had a need, just like we have needs. And he cried out. And Jesus wanted him to cry out. Why? It's an exercise of faith. An exercise of faith. Do you believe? Do you really believe that he will help you? You cry out, and people say, shush up. Don't make a scene. No, I need Jesus to help me. Yeah, just wait. I need Jesus to help me now. And he will. But he pushes a little bit more. He says to the blind man, "What do you want?" "It's obvious I'm blind." He could have just said, "I give up. I give up on this guy, this Jesus. He doesn't care." Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But he's looking for faith. When we exercise our faith. Now, I told you, look at verse 50. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. That right there is an act of faith. He doesn't believe that he's going to need his garment anymore back there. And if he does, he'll be able to see to find it. So there's faith right there. That's the first one where Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing through, and there's a desperate need, whether it's physical, financial, relationship needs, whatever it is, we need to cry out to Jesus. Yes, he knows the need, but he's waiting for us to cry out, to reach out in faith. Okay, the second one, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 18. This is after the crucifixion and after the resurrection. Two of the disciples are going, we don't know which two it is, but two of the disciples are traveling on the road to Emmaus. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." So they're talking back and forth. "So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and was walking with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know who it was. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk? And you're so sad.'" So obviously they were sad. There was something wrong there. "Then the one whose name was Cleopas," so he was a disciple, he wasn't one of the apostles, "answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?'" Verse 19? Oh, verse 28, skip down. Okay, so they're walking along, they're talking with Jesus, but they don't know it's Jesus. But Jesus is trying to tell them, hey, all these things had to happen. The Savior, the Messiah had to be crucified. He had to die for the sins of the world. This had to happen. It was prophesied. So they get close to where their destination is. They drew near to the village where they were going, and Jesus indicated that he would have gone further. So they're walking with him, talking, and they get to their house, and Jesus says, "Okay, I'll see you guys later." Verse 29, "But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them." Now, what happens now would not have happened if they'd have let Jesus keep on going. "It came to pass, as he sat at the table with him, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." Verse 32, "And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So there's times in our lives when we're just trying to follow God. We're just trying to do, as a Christian, what we're supposed to do. We're just trying to be a good parent. We're just trying to be a good worker at work. We're just trying to do right. And we have dreams. We have aspirations. We have someday God will open this door for me. Someday this will happen, and I'll come into my destiny. And things fall apart. And we don't know what is going on. I made a note here, and this was, these notes were made 23 years ago. We're just trying to follow Jesus, living for God, anticipating what we think God will do in our lives when something totally unexpected happens, something that doesn't seem to fit. Now, when I was reading this, going over this the other day, I thought, wow, that's exactly what happened to me. What happened? Sorry. What happened was, we were in a church in Arizona, and I had decided that my destiny with God was to make lots of money, support planting churches, and just be a pillar in the church. Just be there, and that was my destiny. Okay, God, this is what I'm planning. This is it. But God has a way of upsetting our plans sometimes. Something happened, and because that thing happened, you're stuck with Anna and me here today. So that was not what God had for us. Even though I thought, this is perfect. This is the destiny that God has for me. God's up there. No, sorry. That's not what it's going to be. So what does Jesus want us to do? When we have a desperate need, like blind Bartimaeus, he wants us to cry out. When we're going through and something just totally unexpected happens, what did the disciples do? They did what was right. They did what was right. It was customary, it was right for the disciples to invite this traveler in to feed him. That was the right thing to do. They didn't know it was Jesus, remember? They just knew that there was this traveler going with them, and he was going to continue on. But no, the right thing to do is to invite him in and have supper with him. When they did that, even though they were disappointed, even though they were dazed and confused, I don't know what's going on. We thought the Messiah was going to come and he was going to conquer the Romans and free us, and that didn't happen. And now, he got killed, and now some women friends of ours are saying that he's still alive. And what's going on? Well, I don't know what's going on, but this is the right thing to do. Invite this traveler in. So they did right. They took their eyes off their own problems. They did what was right. They did the right thing. That's what God wants us to do. Sometimes this life is a roller coaster. When that thing happened to us in Arizona, we could have just said, forget this God thing. Forget it. I'm out of here. Forget it. But we didn't. We said, well, the church is messed up, but God is still God. He's still on the throne, and I'm serving him. I'm not serving a church. And I hope that's where you are today. Because God forbid, if something should happen here, are you still going to serve God? Are you serving God, or are you serving the church? Are you serving God, or are you serving Pastor Brad? Are you serving God, or are you serving your spouse? We're called to serve God. We're called to do what's right, regardless. Okay. Now there's a third thing. I had a pastor a long time ago. He said, you need to realize these things that happened in the Bible, they really happened. This is not fairy tales. This is not just something made up. These things really, really happened. And this third thing, this third thing, I think, may have happened like this. Did you guys see that? I cannot believe what happened. 5,000 people. He fed 5,000. And Andrew, what was it you brought? You brought 5 loaves of bread and a couple of dried fish. That's all? And Matthew, you counted the baskets. How many baskets of stuff were left over? 12? 12 baskets of stuff from that? Plus he fed all those people? Oh man, this guy is amazing. I can't. Oh, hello, Jesus. Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. We need to leave. So you want us to dismiss? Oh, you're gonna? Okay. All right. Well, we'll just wait here for you. Oh. You want us to keep going? You want us to go ahead and in the boat? How are you gonna? Never mind. Okay. Yes, all right, as you say, whatever you say. Okay, guys, we're supposed to get in the boat and we're supposed to go on over to the other side. No, he doesn't want us to wait. Okay, well, let's go. Okay. Oh, well, it's going to be a hard one, guys. We can't use a sail. The wind's against us. So we're going to have to man the oars. All right. Okay, Andrew, you bring your oar over here. Let's get this thing started. Okay. They're at it again, aren't they, Andrew? Yeah. James and John, would you two quit arguing about who's the better rower and just get busy rowing? Thaddeus, Simon, the rest of you guys, Matthew. Why don't you take off that fancy robe of yours and grab an oar? Come on. The rest of you guys, come on, let's go. Thomas, you think you could help us? What do you mean you doubt it? Come on, let's go. All right. Yeah, we're going to have to row quite a ways, guys. Come on, put your backs into it. I think there's a storm coming up. Yep, there's the storm. Okay, we're going to have to go. Come on, it's several miles across, you guys. It's going to take a while. We're fighting the wind, too. Okay, several hours later. Oh, this is getting hard. This is a lot of work. Oh, I'm not complaining. I'm doing better than you guys. Okay. What's that? Must be a little quiet. No. Andrew, what is that? Looks like someone walking on the water. There's no boat. Is somebody walk? It's a ghost. It's a ghost, guys. There's a ghost over there. It's a ghost. He's going. It's a ghost, guys. No! He just cried out. He said, what did he say? He said, it's Jesus. That's Jesus? I know. We've got to find out for sure. Jesus, if... Lord, if that's you, tell me to come over to you. I didn't know what else to say. Well, yes. Well, I'm sorry, guys. He said to come. So, what? Dude, I'm standing on the water. Well, he said to come over to him. I guess I need to come over to him. Ow. The waves. The wind. Man, I don't know if I can do this. Wait. Jesus, help me! Oh. Thank you, Lord. Well, yeah, I knew I could do it, guys. And so they all got back into the boat. I think that might have been how it worked. So, point is, we need to realize that these things really happened. Blind Bartimaeus really did cry out and really did get healed. The disciples on the road to Emmaus really were disappointed. They were really dazed and confused like we are sometimes. And the disciples were really struggling. As a matter of fact, it says it was about 3 in the morning before Jesus came walking. And let's look, well, I don't think we have these up there, but Mark, Jesus walking on the water is recorded 2 times especially, actually 3 times in the Gospels, but primarily in Mark chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 14, okay? And it says there that Jesus came and would have passed them by. Would have passed them by. They're struggling. They're just doing what Jesus told them to do, and they're struggling with it. They're working hard. And Jesus would have passed them by, but they cried out in fear. They cried out to him. Cried out, and Jesus said, it's me, guys, it's me. So when we think that Jesus has gone, he's nowhere to be found, and we're struggling, we're sweating, we're having such a hard time, he's there. What we need to do oftentimes is just ask. Just ask. Matthew 7:7-8. You have that one? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, if you look at the Greek there, it says, ask and keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Don't stop. There's a similar passage in Luke chapter 8, or 18. Luke 18, verse 8. Jesus is telling another parable about a woman that has gone to a judge, and she wants justice. Something happened, and she wants justice. And this judge doesn't want anything to do with her. He says, just leave me alone. But she keeps coming and coming and coming. And finally, the judge says, okay, you're just bothering me so much. I'll give you justice. And so he takes the case. Jesus says, I tell you that God will avenge them speedily. When we come to God with a case, he will avenge speedily. But he says this interesting thing here. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So we ask and we keep on asking. We knock and we keep on knocking. We don't hear anything. We don't hear. God, I've been praying for this for 20 years. And it hasn't happened. Ask and keep on asking. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Is our faith going to falter? Do we have faith to keep on asking? Do we have faith to keep on knocking? Do we believe God? Or do we say, God, if you don't answer in my time frame, then I'm going to quit believing. I'm going to give up. That hurts us. It doesn't hurt him. It hurts us. Keep in mind that it says ask. The word ask comes from a Greek word called aiteo, A-I-T-E-O, aiteo, which means ask, or beg, or call for, or crave, or desire. It does not mean demand. We don't demand from God. I need to break the news to some people. You are not God. He is the Father. We are the sons and daughters. He is not our servant. We are the sons and daughters. We come to God. We come and we ask. We knock. It doesn't say tear the door down. It doesn't say come in and demand. Now, yes, as Pastor preached on last week, we have God's promises to stand on. But what's your attitude there? Is your attitude, I'm going to demand this from God? That's the wrong attitude. We sang the song just a few minutes ago. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, yes, that's in the Old Testament, but the part about being humble does not change in the New Testament. He's God, okay? And he wants us to come and ask. He wants us to cry out like blind Bartimaeus does. He wants us to do what's right like the disciples did. Get a couple more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3:6. God's the one that gives the increase. When we're sweating, when we're toiling, when we're doing what we think is right and things are not happening, the disciples were rowing and rowing and rowing, and they were still in the middle of the lake. They were not making any progress. God's the one that brings the increase. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And Galatians 6:9, we're studying Galatians in Life Group 9:30. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart. Okay, keep on keeping on. God wants to help. Sometimes it seems like Jesus is just passing us by. Seems like, you know, he's not paying any attention. But he is. He hears our cries. He sees what we're doing. He understands, and he wants to help. Very basic message this morning. There's one area where sometimes, well, all the time, it's the first time that we need to cry out to God. And we need to cry out for mercy if we are not a Christian. Now, when I say not a Christian, many people think, well, I go to church, therefore I'm a Christian. That's not what makes us Christian. That's not according to the Bible anyway. It may be what America says or what our culture says, well, I go to church, therefore I'm a Christian. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what God says. Bible says, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things become new. That's the key, being in Christ. We're studying a lot in Life Group about the grace of God and the role that faith plays. It's not what we do, it's trusting in what he has already done, what Jesus did for us. This is real. This is real, and that's the first time that we need to cry out. That's what I had to do. How long has it been now? 41 years? I knelt down in a big, huge, open field in the middle of the city, but it was the power company, and so there was nothing around. Like 2 in the morning, I knelt down out there and I said, Jesus, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you are, come into my heart and change me. And I was waiting for angels to sing or harps to start playing, you know, things like this. And didn't happen, but I prayed. I did what's right. And God started changing my heart. I didn't change appearances, I'm sorry to say, but what changed was on the inside. My attitude towards God had been, God, you're up there, I'm down here, let's keep it that way. I don't want anything to do with God or church or religion or anything like that. But after that night, my heart turned and my desires to please him. So it's God's looking for a heart change, not for church attendance, not for being a good person, not for all these exterior things. He wants to get inside your heart. And if you'll cry out, if you'll ask him to come in, and I'm talking to not just adults here too. I'm talking to a lot of teenagers. You can save yourself a ton of heartache if you'll get your heart right with God today. Really, honestly, you really can. And I speak from experience. I had a chance when I was 16 years old. I had a chance, a prime opportunity, just like this, to get my heart right with God. And I passed it off. The next 7 years were terrible. So I want to invite you to come. If you would like to do that, if you'd like to ask Jesus into your heart, I'd love to pray with you. Myself or Bob, would you help me then? Would you help me for the altar call too? Bob and I will be up here, and if you would like to pray, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to introduce you to the Savior. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you never have cried out that way to God, maybe you've said, God, help me out of this jam and I'll start going to church. God, help me out of this jam and I'll be good from now on. But you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart to be the Savior of your life, to be the Lord of your life. You've never done that. You're feeling that same thing that I felt when I was 16 years old. You're feeling that urge inside that this is something I need to do. I don't understand it, but I know this is something I need to do. That's God's Spirit pulling on you, drawing you by the power of his love, trying to draw you to himself. You need to respond to that today. That's something that doesn't happen every day, but it's happening to you right now. You need to respond to that. We're going to sing this song, and while we're singing, I invite you to come up here. Either pray by yourself, or Bob or I would be more than happy to pray with you, lead you to Jesus. If you're going through something else, you are a Christian, you're going through something else, you're going through this hard time, you're going through this disappointment, you're working and working and you don't see Jesus anywhere, or you've got a physical need or financial need, God's here. He wants to help. Jesus is here. It only looked like he was passing by, but he's here. He's here. You can come up and pray too. Let's all stand. Sing this song.
He has shown me.
He has shown me.
Oh man.
Oh man.
What is good and what the Lord requires of thee. He has shown me.
He has shown me.
Oh
man.
What is good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly,
but to do justly,
and to love mercy,
and to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy God. But to do justly,
but to do justly,
and to love mercy,
and to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy God. He has shown me.
He has shown thee,
oh man,
what is good and what the Lord requires of thee.
He has shown me,
he has shown thee,
oh
man,
what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly,
but to do justly,
and to love mercy,
and to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy God. But to do justly,
and to do justly,
and to love mercy,
and to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy.
Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, now I love you. I need you.
That was great. Thanks, Paul. I knew you were a teacher, but I didn't know you were an actor. That was really good. I just want to remind you, a couple weeks ago, we talked.